The secret of success. The best thing can do is to illustrate by actual facts well known to you all. A.T. Stewart, a poor boy in New York, had $1.50 to begin life on. He lost 87.5 cents of that on the very first venture. How fortunate that young man who loses the first time he gambles. That boy said, "I will never gamble again in business," and he never did. How came he to lose 87.5 cents? You probably all know the story how he lost it, because he bought some needles, threads, and buttons to sell, which people did not want, and had them left on his hands, a dead loss. Said the boy, "I will not lose any more money in that way." Then he went around first to the doors and asked the people what they did want. Then, when he found out what they wanted, he invested his 62.5 cents to supply a known demand. Study it wherever you choose, in business, in your profession, in your housekeeping, whatever your life. That one thing is the secret of success. You must first know the demand. You must first know what people need, and then invest yourself where you are most needed. A.T. Stewart went on that principle until he was worth what amounted afterward to $40 millions, owning the very store in which Mr. Wanamaker carries on his great work in New York. His fortune was made by his losing something, which taught him the great lesson that he must only invest himself or his money in something that people need. When will you salesmen learn it? When will you manufacturers learn that you must know the changing needs of humanity if you would succeed in life? Apply yourselves, all you Christian people, as manufacturers or merchants or workmen to supply that human need. It is a great principle as broad as humanity and as deep as the scripture itself. The best illustration I ever heard was of John Jacob Astor. You know that he made the money of the Astor family when he lived in New York. He came across the sea in debt for his fare, but that poor boy with nothing in his pocket made the fortune of the Astor family on one principle. Some young man here tonight will say, "Well, they could make those fortunes over in New York, but they could not do it in Philadelphia." My friends, did you ever read that wonderful book of Riss, wherein he gives his statistical account of the records taken in 1889 of 107 millionaires of New York? If you read the account, you will see that out of the 107 millionaires, only 7 made their money in New York. Out of the 107 millionaires worth $10 million in real estate then, 67 of them made their money in towns of less than 3,500 inhabitants. The richest man in this country today, if you read the real estate values, has never moved away from a town of 3,500 inhabitants. It makes not so much difference where you are as who you are, but if you cannot get rich in Philadelphia, you certainly cannot do it in New York.